Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We looked at verses 24, 25 at our annual business meeting and touched on these verses just briefly and noting doing more for the Lord in 2024. And he closed out verse 25. We know this verse, verse 24 as well. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And I wanted to take a step from that, if you will, and move forward as he is encouraging his readers to assemble themselves together. Be a church, be there together. And he notes, "and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." I think the day that he's referring to is the day of the Lord, his coming back, and encouraging them in his day, since we don't know when that day is, to encourage to gather together. Already by the time this book was written, there were those that were starting to not assemble as often as they had been. And he's noting that. Don't go that route. Continue staying together to exhort one another, to encourage one another. Again, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I want us to move off from that. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3. As we consider these thoughts, besides continuing to gather together as we see that day approaching, another result of this anticipation is a purifying work. And I bring us to 1 John chapter 3, because I trust that we are looking for His coming. We noted that one of the crowns is anticipation of His coming when we answered some questions here a couple Sundays ago. And one of those crowns that will be given to us in that day will be those that are looking forward to His coming. We're waiting here with anticipation. And I would say even at times a bated breath. Lord, is it now? We've all talked about it. We heard some last night from Brother Heffernan. You know, we look at the world around us, and it certainly seems ripe for God's judgment. And if it's that ripe for it, then surely we could hear that trumpet and that shout, and in an instant be gone. Do we live in anticipation of that? We should. And part of that is to assemble ourselves together in anticipation of that. That would be a wonderful time to go. I wouldn't mind having my sermon cut off midway, you know, or even not get to the sermon. And I'm not going to holler on the way up, "Lord, why?" That would be a great time to go up with our fellow believers. We wouldn't be scattered around town to go up. You know, I don't know if we'll see each other on the way up as we go through the air, but you know, to be with God's people gathered together in a service and then to be just gone. What a great way to go. And so I trust that we live in anticipation of that and realize that we do need to meet together because the days are dark. And we can be the light in this world that God's called us to be. But another, I think, thought that goes along with this in this anticipation is, how are we living now? Let's read verses 1 through 3, and we'll note this. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He, that is Christ, is pure." And so John, as he's writing to his readers, notes and really highlights, as he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What an honor. What a distinction John is noting this. Because of God's great love for us, when he saved us, he adopted us into his family. He took us out of the family of the world, the lost generation, if you will. Redeemed us, cleansed us, and adopted us, brought us into his family, and we're now joint heirs with Jesus Christ for all that God has. And he tells us that that's a great love, that we should be called the sons of God. And God bestowed his love upon us through his son's redemptive work of salvation in us and calling us his children. I mean, it's as you read these things that God has for us in his word, as he describes what salvation is, to me it just gets more wonderful as we think about all that he has there. I like to think of it as some in thinking about salvation and its aspects. I think of it as a diamond that is many faceted, and the facets are there to help bring out the luster, the brightness, the brilliance of that stone. And that is the Christ life. A brilliant, beautiful life. And it is made up, if you will, of, yes, our salvation. There's a facet. Redemption, another facet. Adoption, another facet. Justification, sanctification, conversion, all the words that we have within the scriptures that talk about our new life in Christ is facets of that that just make it grow brilliant and show who our God is and what he has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And as you read these things, as you read about them and God helps to explain all these things, you know, our salvation is more than just a, I got saved, my sins have been forgiven. There's a new life in Christ now. There's an eternal home in heaven now. Again, we've been adopted. We've been taken out of that family, put into a new family. God's going to give us a new body, preparing us for that. There's so much there that to me it gets me, as some may say, maybe Bapticostal, excited, thankful, praising the Lord for what he has done and what he is doing with that salvation that is so simple that a child can understand, and yet so profound that there are those that look at it and just say, can't be. No. And they miss it. And God's provided that for us and called us into this and brought us into this new family relationship as we look at verse 2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Not we shall be. When you get to heaven, when that process, if you will, of salvation is complete, it began the moment of the new birth. And God has been growing and maturing and growing us in Christ's likeness. And once you get to heaven, then you'll be a son of God, a child of God. He doesn't say that. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're a child of the King, as our hymn writer notes. And so that new familial relationship with God through his Son brings us a new life in Christ, looking forward to a new body in Christ one day, as he continues in that passage, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When that day comes, when he comes back to get us, he's going to give us that new, incorruptible, immortal body. No more aches and pains. You know, talking to Brother Orth this morning, and he was noting the pains that he has even in the knee that they've worked on. No more pain. No more hip replacement surgeries. No knee replacements. No cataract surgeries. No cancer surgeries. A brand new perfect body. A body like Christ's body. And that's waiting for us. And he's reminding us, you're a child of his now. You don't have that new body yet. But you have that new life in him. You are a child of God. With that understanding, should that not cause us to live a mite different? You know, we don't have royalty in our country. But I think we can see some of this as we look across the pond and look at our former government and see. You know, there are children that are royalty. They are expected to live and behave and act in a different way than the rank and file Briton. Why? Because they're children of the king. And we see a vast difference between those two sons, do we not? We see one living to be a child of the king, and the other wanting to be a child of his own. And we see the results within the royal family and the turmoil that it's caused. And God's reminding us, we're child of his. How are we living? We shouldn't be living like we used to in the old world. In our lostness, in our darkness. But we're sons of God now. Doesn't mean we put on airs. Doesn't make us better than the next person. Because they're a sinner in need of the Savior just like we were. We've been adopted, yes. And praise God, they too can be adopted if they will come to Christ and join us in this family. But he notes that we're going to have a new body, and so we wait, verse 3, with a confident expectation of this new body in Christ. It says, and every man that hath this hope, what hope? Verse 2. That we're going to be given a new body, that when Christ comes and we see him, we're going to have a new body. That coming is coming. And so do we live in anticipation of it? We should, that as he comes, and we're going to be purifying ourselves, even as he is pure. We're going to be living in light of the fact that he could come back today. And if we are, then we should be keeping a short account with our God concerning the lives in which we live. If you go back to chapter 1, he notes for us, as he talks about sin, he comes to verse 9 and he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's the one that makes us pure. Because we are sinners. Yes, saved by grace, but we are sinners. And we're still sinners. We're just saved by grace. And there may be times when we need to come and ask his forgiveness. And he gives us that promise. He will cleanse us so that we can be pure, if you will, when he comes. I don't know that there would be a great commotion change in that moment. But I'd rather be far more as Christ-like as I can be in this life, ready for that moment, than seeking to live the old life and not trying to be close to Christ, living for him as I should I hear that shout and that trumpet. More of a jolt, if you will, to go from living a life of sin and trying to be that way than to be living in anticipation of his coming and hearing it and saying, praise the Lord, instead of, oh no. He's here, and I wasn't ready for it. Again, I don't know what we will have going on in our minds in that moment. But as John writes this, I believe it's trying to put his readers in that frame of mind that we need to be living in an anticipation of it. And if we are, then we're going to be watching ourselves and trying to entrust that we're living a life that is pleasing to him. And if we do sin, seeking quickly to confess it and forsake it and being cleansed and ready, because we don't know when that trumpet will sound and that shout will be heralded out. But I trust that we live in anticipation of it, because it can happen at any moment. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. That day is coming. And again, as we look at the world around us, it certainly seems like it's, and we know it is far closer today than it was when Christ and others, you know, gave us his words and told us about that event. Whether it's the Gospels, whether it's John in the book of Revelation at the end of the first century, whether we go back and look at some of the Old Testament prophecies that speak of that day coming, that's even farther back in time. We're closer to it now than when it was written. And so I trust that we can live in anticipation of it and looking forward to it. That's our end place, is with our Heavenly Father forever. And we live in the light of eternity, whether we recognize it or not. Because we're not stopping that day from coming. We haven't slowed that clock down one nanosecond by the way in which we live. His plan will be accomplished. And so I trust that we will live accordingly as we have the opportunities that God gives to us to be pleasing to him as we live and serve him in this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are here. Father, we do thank you for the life that you have given to us in Christ. Father, a life that can be lived in your power and your enabling. It's not something that we can strive for in the power of our flesh, for we will utterly fail. But we live it in the power of Christ. It's his life that is being formed. A new life in Christ, abundant and free. Father, I pray that we would live in the light of the anticipation of your coming. Many generations of believers have since this book was penned. And Father, in our day and age, it is our time to live in anticipation. To call out as even John did at the end of the book of Revelation, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. As we see the things going on around us, Father, it certainly begs us to say the same thing, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. But Father, I pray that we would be faithful in the time that you leave us here. May we be that salt and light. May we see others come to Christ before it's eternally too late. We thank you for the time that we have tonight. Pray that you'd encourage us in our walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.